Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am your host, Allie Ann, and today is a huge topic that I have been so excited and so waiting to record and share with you guys. I've had these notes for so long, and I am recording and editing the podcast last minute, of course. That's just what I do. But anyway, I hope you guys find some ideas on how to gain motivation. Maybe God would prick your heart and show you what has been messed up in your life that maybe you can go to Him and ask for help with. I just simply go over three of the biggest problems that I see when people are lacking motivation, and I go off on a couple bunny trails, but I love this topic. I feel like it's a really good topic to share, and I just really pray that you guys are able to get something out of it, and I really enjoy it. So without further ado, let's get right into the episode. So before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to give you a quick story about pretty much this entire year of 2022. I started out the year really focused on God and on being okay with whatever went, whatever happened. I knew God had called me to do some things, but I also knew that He commanded me to love those around me and to spend time with Him. And then having a job one day a week and different projects that our family has been involved in, different things that pop up just out of the blue. And I had a goal of making one blog post a week, and I actually did very well for, I'm going to say, until July. I can't exactly remember, but so this is kind of going off of what I remember. So in July, I got my focus off of God. I started becoming doubtful of where He was leading me. I started just coming up with all these different reasons of why it wasn't possible to have this dream fulfilled, and why it was probably just me and it wasn't really God-given, and just I came up with all these different kind of excuses. And I went through a month of depression, just really struggling to keep going and to find motivation to actually be able to do, or at that point, I wasn't even sure if that was what I was supposed to be doing, but something inside of me knew it was. So I just kept trudging along and figured God would direct me whichever direction I was supposed to be going. So about a month later, I really feel like I must have gotten my mind focused back on God, because I had, I had about a month and a half to where I was back to normal. Like the mundane things in life were joyful again, and I was okay with whatever happened. I had time to do what I needed to do and to also enjoy family projects and family time and just a bunch of things. And then during the end of my race on October 1st, I had in my mind that I really wanted to get a time for this half marathon of 3 hours and 30 minutes. I knew it was possible with all the training I had done, but I also knew that I don't get very much elevation training because I live in a flat area, and this was 2,000 feet of technical terrain, so I didn't get much practice in that time-wise, and it takes an hour to get to anything that even resembles that kind of elevation in the race. So it was kind of, I had to be very creative, but I knew a 3:30 time was possible. And so I really set my heart on that. And so, let's see, with about 4 miles left in the race, I was at 2 hours and with 4 miles. Yeah, did I say 4 miles? Anyway, with 4 miles left in the race, let's see, it would have been actually about five. I was at 2 hours and 30 some minutes. And I knew it was possible to get closer to that goal of a 3:30. And so 2 miles later, I realized that the timing really was not going to work. And so I started getting my eyes off of God. I started getting really frustrated. And then just everything went downhill from there. I felt like my body gave up on me, even though I felt like I could have. I don't know if I could have done more, but I felt like I could have maybe pushed myself a little bit more. But because my mind had given up, my body was kind of following suit. So, it wasn't actually until yesterday that the depression from that time left. And I was talking to, or I wasn't talking to a, well, yeah, I was telling a friend what I was going through and just kind of asking her, like, is there a way to fight the enemy that I maybe I'm missing or just whatever, because I wasn't quite sure what was going on at the time. I figured I lived in depression most of my life. So the beginning of this year, I thought was just, maybe some kind of spiritual mountaintop that I wasn't going to be able to gain again. And so, let's see, yesterday she would have texted me back the day before. And yesterday morning, I really was praying about what she had said and what I felt like God had been laying on my heart over the last however many days. And I started just kind of thinking about this last year and what the difference was. And what God led me to was that when I am living in a depression moment or in anxiety or in worry, it's because I have lost my focus off of God and I lose my trust in Him. I start doubting and I start just focusing on the circumstances and focusing on my to-do list rather than on Him. Even though when I focus on Him, I'm full of joy and I feel like I have time to do everything that I need to do. I still default into where I feel safe, which is looking at the circumstances and acting out of my fear by not doing anything or drawing back or whatever. But during that, I realized that since this episode was on three reasons why you might be lacking motivation, as I was reading over the notes before I went to record, I realized that it's not just these three reasons, but it's where our focus is, it's where our heart is. If our heart and our focus is right, then you may be having, or then if you're still lacking motivation, then these three reasons may help you be able to focus on, or I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. So in other words, these three reasons why you might be lacking motivation that I'm going to be sharing with you, they will only work if your focus is right. Because I have noticed that when I am looking for motivation, it's not really the motivation I'm looking for. It's for joy and peace and contentment. and being okay with what's going on, being able to trust God and to just be able to enjoy life. So I don't know if that's for everybody, but maybe the next time you're lacking motivation, ask yourself, is it really motivation that you're looking for? Or is it peace, joy, contentment, self-control? Is it something else? And there's a spider hanging above my head. Hold on. So I realized that over this last year with the two phases of depression that I went through for, let's see, it hasn't been a total month this time, but the first time it was a month, and this time it was, let's see, October 1st. So it would have been about 20 days, according to my calendar, that's probably wrong. But just maybe ask yourself that the next time that you feel like you're lacking motivation and you just want to kind of lay in bed and not do anything. You feel like you have no purpose or whatever. Just ask yourself, where is your focus? And are you trusting God? Are you relaxing into His arms? Is your relationship with Him right? I noticed during the depression, I could still hear from God. And He was still working. He was still answering my prayers. He was still there. But my heart was just like in this constant state of anxiety and doubt and just an unhappy place to be. But I was still getting things done. And so I was kind of like, I really would like to be enjoying these moments instead of just going by them in fear and distrust. So I'm really glad that God showed me that yesterday, and it makes a lot of sense. So having that out of the way, I also wanted to share with you three reasons why you might be lacking motivation. Don't forget, this is after you make sure your focus is right, if you're still lacking motivation. So if you feel like your focus is still on God and you're still trusting in Him, then you can check these three problems. So what I found about motivation is that it's fleeting, just like our feelings. It comes and goes in the moment. And I actually, for myself, classify motivation as a feeling. It's a good feeling that makes us want to get something done. And it may come with peace and joy and contentment and trust in God and just a bunch of other different things. But I really feel like, at least for me, motivation, what I'm looking for when I feel like I'm lacking it, is just a feeling of being able to enjoy and move forward in what I'm doing. So the top three that I have come up with is, problem number one is your ego. I know this is not a topic that a lot of people, especially runners, really want to talk about, because I don't know if we know subconsciously that it's a big problem and we don't want to deal with it. But I have noticed that my ego gets in the way a lot, and it kind of sucks the enjoyment out of my life and kind of lowers my motivation and makes me just kind of not want to do anything, kind of want to hide in a hole or whatever. But as a note on that, there is two sides of pride. It's the self-pity. You're constantly focused on yourself and thinking like you're not good enough, or you have to push hard to keep going. And then there's the other side that's an I'm better than you kind of attitude, to where you do everything to try to please others, or you do everything to try to even please yourself, or maybe even please God. But it's technically just your ego is what is focused on yourself, whether it's inward or outward. And Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. So I wrote down a quick few notes for what you can do when you have pride. I know it will take you a while to get over, and honestly, I think that a human will always struggle with pride, maybe some less than others, but I feel like we're always wanting to focus on ourselves, either inwardly or outwardly, by thinking we're not good enough or we're better than other people. So what we can do is first recognize that we have pride, ask God for forgiveness, and help to resolve it. One thing I've been learning is that God doesn't want just the good parts of us. He doesn't want us to sacrifice Him all of the goodness of us, because in reality, the goodness of us is really God in us. And it's not even righteous in His eyes, because we're not doing it the way He designed it to be done. So realizing that you have pride and that you are having trouble with that is going to be the first step in removing it or getting it out of your life or conquering it, having victory over it, whatever. I struggle with it probably on a daily basis. Just either one way or the other, I'm focused on how I am hurting, or if I'm feeling great, then I'm like, oh, I don't necessarily say I'm better than others, but I'm like, that's technically my heart attitude, because I'm like, oh, I conquered this. I wish I could help that person do the same. So it's both sides, and our focus should be on God. And that's, I guess that would sort of go with your, where your focus is. But anyway, asking God for forgiveness and help to resolve it, because, we can do nothing without Christ, but we can do everything through Him. So being able to just go to God and say, I acknowledge that I have this problem, and I ask you to forgive me, and please help me to resolve it. Please show me what to do. Please lead me to see how it's hurting other people, see how it's hurting me, see how it's hurting your relationship with God, just whatever. Just share your heart with Him. He knows your heart already. So if you can just tell Him exactly what you're wanting out of this, including being able to remove your problem or gain the motivation that you're wanting. So another thing you can do then is to meditate on scripture. And just recently I got a devotional from the Daily Grace Co. I did not want to get this. It was kind of a funny story. My mom and I went in together to get the free shipping. And so I wanted all these different devotionals, but for some reason, this one, I think it's called Meditations for Seasons of Waiting. But it's a 31-day, you meditate on one verse each day, and you have three questions or ponderings or something to do three times a day. So one in the morning, one in the evening, and then one in the middle of the day. And I honestly did not want to get that one. I was like, I want these other ones. Like, I already know how to meditate and whatever. So I for some reason, I just really, really felt like God was encouraging me to get that one. And I am so glad that I did, because I love the different approach to meditation that it gives on asking questions that I never really would have thought about asking. In how does this, one of the questions was, how does this verse show you who God is or what God's character is? And there was a lot of things that came to mind that I was like, well, I would have never seen that in that verse had I not, had they not asked that question. And then there was another one. Oh, I can't remember what that one was. But anyway, there's the questions are very thought-provoking. I thought it was just going to be like this simple, what does this verse mean? What's the definitions? Just whatever. I guess I thought it was going to be more of a study than just a meditation and prayer kind of thing. So I'll definitely leave the link, if I can, to that devotional, because I really like it. And it's going to be sad when it's over. It's very hard to be able to set aside it only takes like 5 to 10 minutes 3 times a day. It's hard to set that aside mainly in the afternoon. It's really hard to go away for 5 to 10 minutes and sit down and answer these 3 questions or whatever. In the morning, I try to do it before any other, like, I have prayer journaling. I have a devotional I'm doing on depression, which came from the Daily Grace Code as well. And I'm really enjoying that one. I'm in there. They're going through the story of Elijah and how he went through depression. And I never really saw, like, I knew he had was having troubles, but I never really saw it from the light of depression. So I'm really finding that one interesting too. And then, that's the first thing I try to do before any of my other devotional time. And it kind of wakes me up, gets me thinking on scripture, gets me thinking on God to where then I can focus more on prayer. And I feel like it sets my heart right for my time with God. And then we didn't go to bed till midnight last night because we were at a retreat about an hour and a half away. And so I was like, on the way home, I was like, do I really have time to answer those 3 questions and think about them? Which, thankfully, the questions were pretty simple and they weren't as thought-provoking as the ones that afternoon and in the morning. So God planned that out just right for me. It's always something I feel like he does. But I did find the time to do it. I did eventually do it. And I'm glad that so far I have been able to really do that 3 times a day because I really like the way it helps me stay focused on God. But anyway, that was a long rabbit trail and we're already 20 minutes in. So, another thing you can do is realize what matters most to you while on earth. This has been a huge help to me, and this kind of goes with where your focus is as well. And I really feel like if we can ask ourselves, does this really matter? Like in eternity, is it going to matter? Is me trying to find the right outfit for this event going to matter? Is me arguing with this person going to matter in eternity? For some reason, that really helps me be able to let go of my pride and let go of my. It's mainly me trying to demand that I get the time that I want and I need for myself. So that really helps me. And then focusing on others. This is what my friend actually was really pointing out yesterday, or it would have been 2 days ago now, was that it really helps her to focus on others. And I, for some reason, when I was reading it, God kept saying, focus on me. And they kind of go together because it's technically where our focus is. So I know it's kind of obvious for most people that we need to focus on God and that we need to focus on others, but just asking yourself, is that where your heart really is? And why are you focusing on others? I feel like if you're not trying to serve and help others because of God or because your focus is on God, then it's not going to line up properly and it's going to create a bunch of complications. So I feel like that's why God's been really putting on my heart, focus on me, focus on me. Keep your eyes on me. What's been standing out a lot is the word behold. Just fixing our eyes on the Savior. And then one huge one, which can get kind of awkward sometimes because, like, if you forget to say thank you, is reflecting praise. So realize you're not the one fully responsible for your success and make it a point to thank them. And then doing this for God as well. I have done different ways in doing this, and when people tell me, thank you for doing such and such, I used to reflect the praise immediately without saying thank you or without anything and just saying, well, God told me to do it, or God, whatever. And then I would say also that, well, so-and-so helped me do this and so-and-so prayed for me to do this and whatever. And I realize that that is a good thing, but I think we also need to say thank you, because that can get kind of awkward for other people. So I have been trying to say thank you when people give me a praise, but then also either reflecting the praise immediately to others or reflecting the praise to God in my heart. Just making sure that we know anything good in us is from God and not of us, because we are sinful humans. That has really been a huge help for me. So anyway, on to problem number two. You don't have a good reason why you want to run. So this for me has been huge. I've gone back and forth on this, and I have noticed it was very common in when people in a running group ask, how can I get motivation to run? It was very common for people to come back with, remind yourself why you run. And I've noticed, I can't remember the scripture right now, but it says something about, without a vision, the people perish. And I've realized that if people don't have a reason why they do something, their acts and their attitudes are just kind of sour. And in reality, if we're not from our willing heart doing something for God, it's kind of like a stinking sacrifice to Him. It's not as sweet as what we're hoping it to be. So if our reasoning for why we're doing something is not right and it's not from our heart, then we're really going to have a hard time motivating ourselves to do anything. So this Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So this I have realized, God was telling Habakkuk this for, I can't remember what the vision was, but it is very applicable for us today. And we have to make sure that first our vision and our dream is from God. Or if we are trusting God to lead us in different directions, then you can write down your dream and your vision and then let God change and alter it over time. Just being okay with Him changing it. I started out with horses and everything, and over time, God just kind of changed it all over to running. So, I mean, the same application and the same kind of mindset that I was doing with horses and training and lessons and all the things that I wanted to do is sort of still the same for runners, but it's a lot more applicable, I feel like, to the Christian life than training horses was. And it's more, people are more capable of understanding and doing it from a runner's perspective, because most likely everybody has run or tried it either when they were a kid or when they were older or whatever, but not a lot of people have really been involved in training horses and everything. So it's not as, It's not, people can't relate as well to horses. So I'm kind of glad that God changed my perspective and my main focus of my ministry idea and vision over to running, which I'm still not very good at it. I probably never will be, but that's the whole point, is just allowing God to do it through you. Anyway, I keep going off on rabbit trails, so sorry. So what can you do to find a good reason for why you want to run? So just realizing or sitting down, what gets you out the door every day? Why Why do you go out and run in the first place? Is it just because something that you want to have a habit of and you want to keep it going? Is it because it makes you healthy? Is it because it gives you energy for the rest of the day? Just whatever it is, why do you keep telling yourself you want to go out and run? And then just write that down. And then find out, well, first find out what that is, but then find out what the real reason you want to run is. Is it because you want to finish this race and you're just, you love all the benefits that come with it of the having to have an early morning and have helping your health and all this other stuff. But what is the real reason that you want to run? And then also realizing that running is a gift. There are a ton of people out in the world who can't run. Like for one of my sisters, she has knee problems and she used to want to run, and it just kind of it makes me realize that running is a gift and that not everybody can do it. And then seeing all these people who will get injuries and they're not able to run and just all these different things, it's like running is not something that everybody can do. There are limitations for people. There are illnesses or stress in their life or whatever. So just realizing that running is a gift can really help you get motivation to get out the door. And then again, find out what matters most to you while on earth. So really getting down deep to, is this going to matter in eternity? Is this really where your heart is? Or are you just hiding the real reason because you feel like God won't accept you, or you feel like it's not good enough of a reason, or just whatever? But just realizing that God really wants you to share your heart with Him, and that He wants. I'm gonna go off on another rabbit trail. So just find out what matters most to you while on earth is going to be a big one. So problem number three is you keep getting injured. So this is a huge complaint amongst runners, is they keep getting injured. And there are so many reasons that you get injured that it really, you can't figure it out sometimes, like, without investigation and journaling and thinking back and just all these different things. But a lot of times these injuries stem from a weak core, from your hips, your glutes, your pelvis, and your abs mainly. So just anything that's in the middle of your body, anything that stabilizes in there, if those are weak, then it's going to cause problems in a bunch of other areas. And then another big one for why you keep getting injured would be your pride, your ego. You feel like you need to push yourself harder than you really do. And you end up pushing yourself harder on easy days because you have in your mind you need to get a certain pace or a certain amount of miles, but you don't have time or whatever. But realizing if you do keep getting injured, that there is a reason, and in order to figure out that reason, you really have to get down deep. But some things you can do to keep from getting injured is to take care of niggles before they turn to injuries. So this, again, your ego is going to get in the way. But realizing, say, hey, I have this tight spot on my calf. Okay, if you let that go, it's going to go down to your Achilles, wrap around under your heel, attach to the plantar fascia, and you're just going to have, then it's going to, if it keeps going, it'll be your ankle and your shin and your knee, and it'll just keep going up your leg until where it came from, it is there again. And then it's just your entire leg. So it just, if you can put your ego aside and take care of the niggles before they turn to injuries, then you'll only be missing a day or two or three here and there instead of entire weeks trying to get rid of an injury or recovering from one. Excuse me. So another one is to foam more regularly to find hot spots before they turn to injuries. This I have a very bad habit of putting off, but it has worked really well. So sometimes niggles don't show up. First, they will show up as hot spots or sore spots that you didn't really know were there. But if you keep letting that go, it will turn to niggles somewhere else. So sounds like a really weird word as you say it more. So if you can maybe do like a self-massaging thing once a day, just quickly, or I keep wanting to do foam rolling, just a quick full body one once a week to make sure nothing's tight, to make sure there's no spots that I should be taking care of, or massaging or strengthening or something. So that kind of helps to keep my niggles away. And then so then I don't have injuries to worry about. The last injury I had would have been last January sometime. I got Achilles tendinopathy, but I'm going to say it was the least minor that you can get of it, because I was still able to run a few miles occasionally. Like, I'm going to say I ran 3 or 4 times a week still. But my flexibility in my ankle was horrible. I actually got a big tissue lump on my leg from the injury. And yeah, it turned into a big headache just because I wanted to keep pushing. So just take that as a warning to heal injuries before they actually get there. And then rest up when you need to. So in today's culture, we like to just keep pushing and keep pushing and feel like we just need to keep doing stuff. And that's God didn't create us to work 7 days a week. He created us to work 6 and to have a day of rest. And if you ask anybody who prioritizes a week or a day of rest, both internally and externally, it can't just be one or the other. It has to be both. They can tell you that they feel like they have a lot more energy. They can tackle the day better or tackle the week better and whatever. So just being able to rest when you need to. So kind of don't need to go over the spiritual side of pride. I'm sure you know all the problems that pride can create in your spiritual life and in your relationships and just whatever. And then having a good reason why you get up every day, that is really going to help you be able to have motivation in your daily life as well, not just for running. For me, in my life, I've noticed that if I can practice something in my running career, then it's more easily translated over to my spiritual life and relationships and just everything else around me. Because I don't know, for some reason it just clicks better for me. I don't know if that's for everybody, but it really helps. And just writing down why you do what you do is going to be huge, especially if you can figure out what matters most to you while on earth, and then telling yourself that that is really all that matters. And then for injuries, this is huge for spiritual life, because people hurt us every day. I don't care who you are. I don't think it's possible to go through a day without somebody saying something to you, doing something, aggravating you. I really don't think it's possible. I can't remember who the speaker was last night at the banquet. I think it was one of the Miller singers from the Gospel Express or something. But he said something about how he thinks a Christian should always have one person in their life that bothers them, because it strengthens you, it pushes you closer to Christ, and it really grows you as a Christian. And he said that one time when he told people that, this guy came up to him afterwards and said something like, you know what you said about how people should always have one person in their life that they don't get along with? And he's like, yeah. And the guy's like, well, I wish I only had one. And so the whole room just erupted in laughter, because I don't think it's possible. I don't think somebody can be involved in relationships and not have something every day happen, not have somebody in their life that steps on your buttons, that drives you crazy, that irritates you, that throws you down, that gossips, or just whatever. I don't think it's possible to go through a day without having something. And so most likely you are going to have injuries to your heart that you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have hurts and wounds that need to be dealt with. And for me, just the realizing that in the physical life, most injuries stem from a weak core. And that was just a huge eye-opener when I realized that, because most injuries in a spiritual life stem from our core, stem from where is our focus, what is our motive, why do we do what we do, what is our purpose on earth, why are we here, just our core of who we are. If it's off, the more it's off and the weaker it is, the more injuries we're going to have to deal with. I can't remember what the reference is. I think it's, I'm going to take a guess, of Psalm 119, 168, something like that. I'll put it in the description down below. But it says something like, they that love thy law shall never be offended, or something like that. And that was just like, it hit me. I was like, whoa. So the more I'm involved in God's word and the more I am involved in my relationship with God, the less things are going to offend me. The less when people try to throw something at me, I'm going to react, because my core is strong. It's centered, it's balanced. And the thing about both physical and spiritual, if you don't keep strengthening something, it will weaken over time. And I'm pretty sure it only takes 7 days before you start losing strength. And in all honesty, that actually could be very true in the spiritual life as well. It only takes 7 days before you start weakening and your core starts to, like, any strength that you have tried to build up, it starts going downhill. Not very fast, but once it hits a certain point, it will definitely decline very quickly. So, in how to keep yourself from getting injured and trying to not get hurt as much from people, and bitterness is going to be one of the worst spiritual injuries you can ever have. It totally separates you from the person. It totally separates you from God, and it totally just destroys your life. I know somebody that they are always talking about how somebody offended them, and they can't get along with the person. And you can tell in their life, it just makes them angry, and it's destroying their life and sucking all the energy and joy out of it, because they can't seem to forgive this person, and they're constantly talking about it and thinking on it, and it's just refueling the fire of bitterness. So realizing that There are early warning signs that you are irritated with somebody or that bitterness is popping up is going to be, I think, different for everybody. For me, this is going to be kind of weird sounding, but my right eyebrow will go up and it'll be in this tight position. I don't know if it's visible outwardly. I've looked multiple times and I don't think it is, but it feels like my right eyebrow just goes up. And I'm like, this last time I was like, oh no, what am I getting bitter at? What is frustrating me? Who's making me mad? And I was quickly able, I was like, God, get rid of this. And so he helped me like through prayer and forgiving people. But I actually, that is a very weird early warning sign for me. Well, I actually think that would be a niggle in the physical. So that is going to be your, after that comes bitterness. So what you want to do is keep an eye open for the hot spots. So a lot of times in the spiritual life, hot spots will be if you have negative or positive emotion when you think or talk about something. So I can't remember what the verse is. Why can't I ever think of verses when I need them? But I'm pretty sure there is a verse that talks about how we're not actually supposed to have passion, and passion is an extreme emotion. So if you are like, say you're praying about something and you just feel this twinge of anger or frustration, you can take that as a hotspot warning to realize, hey, this needs to be taken care of before it gets worse, before it turns to bitterness. And so I keep getting out of the habit of doing this, just like I do physically, but if you can do a spiritual foam rolling session, if you can just kind of go through in prayer, through your mind, of just the different areas in life and kind of saying like, God, do I have a problem with this? Do I have a problem with you? Do I have a problem with these people? Is my heart set on you? Am I trusting you? Just kind of going through and doing what David said, just try my heart, oh God, know me, try my thoughts, see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just really just telling God, hey, this is, I need to know if there's anything that I should be taking care of. So, and then rest. This is huge because spiritually, you still need rest. It's not, if you ever thought about how God created the world just by speaking, yet he needed a day of rest. I know for introverts, this makes total sense to them because talking to people and being around people totally drain them. They have to have a time by themselves to be able to recuperate and to gain their energy back. But as extroverts, we have a harder time and understanding the concept of a mental rest, because being around people and doing things rejuvenates us and really gives us energy. So I think it also depends on your personality where you can get your rest, where you need to get your rest. But most of the time, rest is going to be being able to spend a day with God in prayer and in his word and just not doing your normal stuff. In Isaiah, it actually says that on the Sabbath, you're not supposed to do your normal things. You're not supposed to think your normal things or say your normal things. Just really getting away from all of life. So it'd be like a day of vacation. You're just letting go of life, not thinking about it, not doing anything. I mean, obviously, you still have to eat and cook and whatever. But just taking a day to stop your life, just pause it, focus on God and rest. That's really going to be huge because a lot of times if we're tired or overwhelmed, we're going to pick up on bitterness a lot easier. We're going to be more irritated and get offended easier. So those are the three problems that I feel like are very common if people are lacking motivation. So they would be your ego, you don't have a good reason why you want to run, and you keep getting injured. So again, this is for spiritual and physical. At some point I would like to make a post on spiritual foam rolling because it's such a huge help for me and I haven't done it in so long. That's probably why I've been struggling with people offending me more and people irritating me. But just spiritual foam rolling is huge, and both being able to focus on God and to not let bitterness get between you. And yeah, that's just a huge one. So I think I went through everything I wanted to talk about a little bit longer than I was hoping, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you're able to find some motivation or some, maybe the next step of what you need to do to be able to gain some motivation. I know there was a ton of points in this one. I was not planning on going that in depth or in that many bunny trails, but I just pray that God was able to speak to you through something that I shared. And I will be putting the, it's just kind of like bullet point notes on as a blog post, and I'll put the link down below. That way you can go back, and I wrote down each of the three problems and then a verse to go with it and what you can do with those. So that way, if you need to, you can go to that and maybe be reminded of what you need to do or what you had thought about doing. So I am praying for you guys. If you guys ever need someone to talk to, please feel free to reach out. I'll leave my email below. I love you guys, and I pray you have a blessed week. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am super pumped to be able to get this episode out to everyone. And if you know of anyone who would benefit from it, please share. That really, really helps me be able to grow and reach more people. If you ever have any questions or anything, please feel free to reach out to me. I love it when you guys do that. It really encourages me and really just gives me motivation and purpose and makes me realize that God is using me and that it's super inspiring. So please feel free to reach out, and I will be leaving any verses, any links that I talked about in the podcast down below. So don't forget to check that out. And I am still working on the new book that is probably going to be called The Simplicity of Christianity, Running in the Will of God. I am super excited to get this out. I just finished up the notes from the race that would have been a few weeks ago. So I am super excited to be able to get that out to you guys and be able to start writing that and editing it. And I'm sure it's going to take a lot longer than I was planning, but hopefully it'll be done quicker than what I'm thinking it will take. And I'm also really trying to get the devotional Back to the Basics out to you guys. And that one, I can't wait to get out. It is actually the workbook that we use in the 12-week program, Back to the Basics. And I can't wait to be able to get that published and in book format so that people can either use it on their own or join the program or just whatever. I can't wait to get that out to you guys as well. And I think that is all of the notifications for now. Notifications, updates, I don't know, whatever it is. Announcements. So I hope you guys have a wonderful day and a blessed week. And I will see you next time.